With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. 5 minutes ago, Jamie said that he was just getting his stuff sorted, and he's been making these noises ever since. What the heck?
Hiya.
Hello.
I'm back, I've got him.
What have you got?
Headphones.
Were they in the wall? You should have heard that.
Was it quite loud?
It's like a rogue mole in a junk shop. Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Howell and Jamie with you. This week brought to you by... It was gorgeous. I was sunbathing last week in Manchester. And yeah. Today it snowed. That's brought to you by the weather this week. The Box Set Pod, welcome to it. So on tonight's episode, we're diminished in numbers. We're recording this on a different night than we normally do because my Mac that I rely on to record this died. Do you know what? I actually fixed it with a screwdriver myself.
Wow.
God
really?
Bless YouTube and screwdrivers. And do you know how small, tiny, like the screws that are inside that you've got to screw are like... Make the smallest gap you can between your finger and your thumb, right?
Doing it right now.
That's how small some of the screws are. It's unbelievable. No wonder. No, I almost said something inappropriate there about sweatshop workers. So I won't.
We already know.
It's probably true, though. It's probably true. No wonder 6-year-olds are building them. Anyway, on tonight's podcast, we're going to do the chart. We're going to have a bit of news from Jamie, and we're going to have a little chat about a box set, as we do every week, that you may or may not have seen. I've watched one episode of it, and tonight it's Arrested Development. So we'll be doing that. Got to do a shout out right now for our work experience boy, Jack's dad, who sent us an email.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
David Boardman, Jack Boardman's dad, and Jack can't be with us tonight. David Boardman, Jack's dad, sent me one of the most compendious, moving, and long emails that we've ever received. I think
you're gonna read that whole shebang out.
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't even know where to start.
No.
I mean, he certainly agrees that he's enjoyed Better Call Saul. It may be controversial, and it may alter as I watch more episodes. But I think that it may be better to watch Better Call Saul first before Breaking Bad. That's a great idea. If you've never seen Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, if you watched Better Call Saul first and then Breaking Bad, because he doesn't turn up as a character for a couple of series, doesn't he? I think a couple of series in, is that right?
Yeah, he turns up about 2 series in, doesn't he?
Well, that'd be quite nice, wouldn't it, to go, there he is. Yeah, so there you go. I would like to thank you and Jamie for giving Jack some work experience on your podcast.
I loved the end, yeah. It was good.
I love the implication, David, that we have made any effort whatsoever there is admirable. I'm amazed at how articulate and confident Jack's become. I'm sure this is down to your encouragement and the banter that exists between the team. Well done for keeping him in his place. Best wishes, David.
Maybe that's what this pod should become. We should go around like picking up miserable teenagers and bringing them out of the shell.
Yeah, I mean,
television banter.
As far as I remember, all I've done is abuse Jack, and that has made him talk more. So
I'm surprised. His dad's not a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Lay off my son, Howell.
Well, I'm reading between the lines. He might be saying that. So, David, either I apologise, or there's some parenting techniques for you. Just pick on him a bit more, and he'll come right out of that shell.
Just lay into him about Peaky Blinders for an hour.
Yeah. Jack's slating of only watching 17 minutes of Kimmy Schmidt intrigued me, says David. And after watching episode one, I could understand the reason why. Following the four-episode rule, I continued, and while it didn't grip me, I have finished the series, though I wish I'd spent the time watching Better Call Saul. That I could pick out lots more bits, but David, it'd take the whole podcast. Thank you very much. I've just finished watching Kimmy Schmidt season two. Have you?
Oh, really? I'm three episodes in.
I would like to state for the record that when we talk about what box sets you take to space on your rocket ship, Mad Men has to be in there for me, but I think there should be two columns, drama and comedy. And Kimmy Schmidt is... There's no question Kimmy Schmidt is number one for me. This second series is amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, I'm only three episodes in and I'm enjoying it, but sort of struggling to get like really hooked in yet. I mean, I love Kimmy Schmidt, so I think it's great, but I do find it... I'm sort of... What I'm finding with the show is that it's so quick. The gags are so quick. I miss so many gags.
I know.
Kind of frustrates me watching it.
Marsh's problem with The West Wing. She can't follow every line. But I've said that. I need to watch it again. But it's just so pleasurable to see something that's been so, honed and.
Yeah,
and also, in the first series, often they'll go off on flights of fancy and do something surreal. This season, they do it even more, and they never apologise for it. And it seems to be that it's in this place where you go, there was no commissioning editor here, you know? Not commissioning editor, there was no, like, studio interference going on. They've just gone... Oh, this is what we're going to do. At this point, everyone's going to do a musical number on the train platform. And they're not going to explain it or apologise for it. They're just going to do it. And it's brilliant. One of my favourite jokes is the beginning of an episode. Have you seen the one where he says, I got sent to musical camp once?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to tell you the joke. Bear in mind that it's me telling the joke. But you'll enjoy it even more when you see it. Titus Andronicus, who is the... musical loving, very camp, very gay housemate of Kimmy Schmidt.
Brilliant.
It's just before the opening music starts, and it's just a throwaway gag, but he goes, this was like that time that my parents sent me away to musical camp to straighten me out. It was an absolute bang fest. he sings it like operatically as well. It was a total bang fest.
He's a brilliant character.
If you're not sold on watching Kimmy Schmidt, YouTube Titus Kimmy Schmidt, right? And there's someone's done a highlights reel of Titus from Kimmy Schmidt. Watching that will make you watch Kimmy Schmidt. I guarantee it. Yeah. So Titus, Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, that's the thing with Tina Fey. I'd love to know if she writes roles for people.
Yes.
Or she just writes the role and finds the right person for that role.
The clue is that his real name is Titus.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Right. Because I was thinking that with Tracy Morgan in 30 Rock as well, you couldn't not have him play that role, so it must have been written for him. And he was on Saturday Night Live, so that where she worked for a long time. So,
well, I was watching an interview that her starting point for this whole thing was that she wanted to write she wanted to write something around Ellie Kemper, who's the main part.
Schmidt.
So that was her starting point. The actress, and it's a great idea.
Bloody brilliant!
It's just brilliant.
I've just watched the episode. It's only a third episode in. And it's like a really moving performance by Titus as like a music version, as a geisha.
Yeah, the Japanese music.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant.
I welled up.
Yeah, it got me. I was like, this is really a brilliant performance.
There's an example of what I'm talking about, that they go for things unapologetically and they just go, well, this bit's going to be beautiful. And it's rare. And also... the other rare thing about it is that you hardly notice, really, not in the same way. It's not a gimmick, as in, I don't want to say it's a gimmick in Girls, but Girls is the title of the show. But this is an almost exclusively female cast as well. And you forget that when you're watching it, and it's just so refreshing. And also The Ghost of Christmas Future. No.
Oh, the woman, yeah,
Past. Is it from
from
Scrooged?
Scrooged. Yeah, she's
Yeah.
great. She's very good.
Christmas Past, the one that slaps Bill Murray, she's in it, a main part in it. And it's just brilliant. So get on, Kimmy Schmidt.
And also, of course, Game of Thrones returned this week. Season 6 began. Did you watch the first episode yet, Howell?
I did. What did you
Very
think?
good. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I loved the it was a bit creepy when she turned into the old woman with the
Oh, I couldn't.
naked
I was
drinking
eating my
boot.
tea. I
Oh,
was eating my tea.
oh,
I was like,
disgusting.
oh no.
Yeah, but it's good. I like it. I was worried because I actually didn't like season 5 very much, so I was worried it was going to be a bit depressing because that's what season 5 felt really. But I thought it was a really good start and
Yeah.
it was really well done. And I'm intrigued to see where they go with it.
I agree. There's still the problem of there being so many plots that you
Yeah.
spend, in total, you'll spend 6 minutes on one aspect of the
Well,
story.
here's the thing, isn't it? Now they are off book.
Yeah.
So now maybe the TV people can take more license with where they go. No one knows where it's going to go now.
Yeah.
Maybe George R. R. Martin has an idea of the end point, but how they get there, they could probably decide a lot of that themselves. So
Yeah.
that might be.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think Adam has just joined us from the internet department. Hello, Adam.
Adam.
He was
Oh
unable
dear.
to join. Okay, so we'll get rid of him. We'll try him again in a minute. I've got the chart for this week.
Really, let's do
This
it.
is the top 10 legal or illegal downloads from our internet department. I was on a Skype with him earlier and I watched him curate this chart. It really is. He puts a lot of work into this, does
Oh,
Ben. Yeah,
really?
you wouldn't guess it, would you? At number
No.
10, there is no number 10, as Game of Thrones took the top 5 spots in every chart in the world, so there was
Wow.
no more data.
That's amazing. I mean, that is amazing. Wow.
Number 9 is Girls. Fantastic.
Oh,
Number
yeah.
8, Downton. It's still in there, but it's going down.
As we're coming about Girls, I've just finished the latest season. Have you finished it, Howell?
No.
And do you know what? For a lot of, there was a few episodes that were really good, and there was a few that really annoyed me, but the last episode was brilliant, and they just, like, she just nails it. When she gets it right, Lena Dunham, she gets it bloody right, and it's a great end to the season, actually.
There you go.
Anyway, Downton.
Down to 8. Number 7, Victoria Wood shows.
Oh yeah,
Minute
bloody
silence.
hell, bloody
Well,
hell.
I mean, the celebrity deaths of 2016.
Oh my God, we had Victoria Wood and Prince within 3 days of each other.
Yeah, I mean
Ridiculous.
it is ridiculous. I don't know who we're complaining to. And people foreseeing the end of the world. The other way of looking at it is like, well, every year this could happen, but it's never happened yet. So it's not that weird. It's just the law of averages is that eventually a row of monkeys will type the full complete works of Shakespeare. Well, that's what's happening. The monkeys are typing Shakespeare.
Yeah, we understand death, Howell. I
Good,
mean, we're
good.
all right.
Adam, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, there he is. Now, get
Oh.
back in your basket. We're just doing the chart.
Okay.
But Victoria Wood and let me just say, Prince. I watched him last year, and it's the best gig I've ever been to in my life. It was amazing. It was one long piece of music for about 2 hours, and it had just sort of he'd just funk his way into his songs every so often and his hits and
Purple
stuff.
rain, purple
I don't think
rain.
he, I'm not sure if he did Purple Rain. He might have done.
I might have booed him.
He might have done it as an encore, but it was so funky. It was just like we. I don't know of anyone in our generation who's going to be who is that talented and that popular. Who are we going to
Bruno
be saying this
Mars.
about? Bruno frickin' Mars or Ed Sheeran? Is that what we're going to be saying? He was just phenomenal. And the best thing about Prince. Is that he made so much stuff that you could literally spend the rest of your life listening to it, which is good.
Yeah.
So I recommend getting a box set of Prince. His latest album is really good. The one that he just released, part two of
Oh.
whatever it's called, is really good. Have a listen. The Americans is at number 6. Ben loves it. Back for a
Can I
new
just say
season.
I've started watching it. It is
Is
really, really
it?
good. Brilliant
Mm.
Cold War 1980s stuff, and it's very deep and dark and dense, but brilliant. Yeah.
Outlander's at number 5. We need to watch that. Good Wife is at number 4. Still going. I enjoy The Good Wife, but every week I kind of want to, oh, come on, let's have more happen. Number 3 is Lucifer.
I've seen adverts for this show, but I've not watched any of it, and it looks a little bit ridiculous, so I've not really been keen.
Number 2 is Night Manager. I've just finished that. Loved
what
it.
What a show.
What a show.
Everyone wants them to do a sequel, but there is no sequel. There isn't. It was based on a book. The book finished when they, there's no more John le Carré book, so there
Ben
you go.
Says, it's finished, bitches. Bond audition. and Game of Thrones is at number 1.
Yeah.
Of course. So there you go. The Thrones is back, and it is wonderful. Time for some box set news now.
Do some quick stuff so we can get into Arrested Development and bring it home. But I do want to mention Louis C.K. Is Project Horace and Pete, if anyone's watched it. Yeah, have you watched it, Howell?
I've watched a bit of it. I think it's very good.
Downbeat comedy, pay-per-view episode option. The problem with this was, for Louis, it was a passion project, so he threw all his own money into it, and he went on to the Howard Stern show and told Howard that he spent millions of his own money, of his own dollars, on this show, and now he's got no money left.
Amazing.
Yeah, so the poor Louis, I feel bad for him. He spent, this is a big deal, and, who knows if he even paid Steve Buscemi, but... you can now buy the entire 10-episode season for $31 on the internet. And if you do, you'll be saving Louis C.K.'s bank account finances.
I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be all right.
He can go on tour again and make a million.
Read more about that at theboxsetpod.com/news. What else, Jamie?
David Chase, writer of Sopranos, he's got a new project he's been working on called A Ribbon of Dreams. Right. This will see him reunite with HBO. It's about three people's lives living in Hollywood, beginning in 1915. But David Chase has been slagging off HBO for getting rid of Terrence Winter from Vinyl. He's also been saying HBO has become a lot less collaborative and a lot less free and a lot more controlling these days since the Soprano days. But he has ruled out the possibility of a Sopranos prequel. That was the rumour, that we're going to try and work on a Sopranos prequel. He hasn't ruled completely out the idea of a feature film version, but he hasn't got any ideas yet, so it's a long way from getting anywhere near.
You just can't, not with Gandolfini gone. Surely.
Yeah, would be very difficult. Lastly, the BAFTA Television Craft Awards took place on Sunday, and they're not a big deal, really, but it does get a chance. It does give a chance to sort of shine a light on some of the other talent that gets lost under the radar, such as the brilliant Channel 4 comedy Catastrophe. Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan won writing awards for that. Also, Shane Meadows won a directing award for This Is England 90. And I do want to mention the funniest award of the night was for the slightly naff Sky drama Fortitude. It won the award for titles and graphic identity. So, which is a great award. And it was a bit of a show. That's your news.
Well done. Adam's general Atmos noise was pretty much louder than you throughout that. Glad to hear you breathing, Adam. Welcome to the Box Set Pod.
Oh, I threw in a bit of a wheeze for you there as well. Wow.
You are so much louder than Jamie. I can't hear myself, but... I imagine that both of us are drowning Jamie out, because Jamie's on some steam-powered machine that he just dug out of his basement.
Is it louder now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can hear you breathing now. I can hear the wind from your face. let's talk about Arrested Development then. So you two have both watched Arrested Development, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Not all the way. I've not watched the recent seasons of it yet.
How many have you watched?
I don't know if I made it to the end of season 3 or not.
That's all right. That's enough. Although it does feel like a lukewarm cheerleading squad so far, I'll be honest.
I'm a massive, humongous fan.
Okay, so As far as I can make out, Arrested Development is about a family. The family is made
are
up
you
of
the guinea pig on this.
I'm though. The guinea pig on this. The family's okay. made up of lots of kids, and one of them, particularly, who's played by Jason Bateman, is expecting to inherit his father's, or be given the title of boss of his father's company. His father announces that it's going to go to his wife instead. Is that it, or his other brother? You can't remember the first episode, can you? Wow. Anyway, point is, it's a show about a dysfunctional family, and they Arrested Development being a psychological thing where something happened to you when you were six and you've stayed that way forever. We've yet to work out what Jamie's is, but that definitely happened to Jamie. He's an example of real life Arrested Development. So very funny first episode. Watched the first episode a couple of weeks ago. Haven't continued with it. And I think it's one of those things, a bit like 30 Rock, Adam, that I watch it and it seems a little dated now. It seems like, for example, Kimmy Schmidt has blown my mind this week, and I don't think 30 Rock can ever come close to Kimmy Schmidt for me. And Arrested Development, I'm just aware of the mountain that's ahead of me, you know. So many series. Adam hasn't even made it to the end of season three. But funny. So
I think... I think that your comparison with 30 Rock... I was going to make the comparison with Kimmy Schmidt, actually, in the... It's a show that you can miss a lot of the gags and you can miss a lot of the plot, but you can still love it and you can still follow like the general characters because they're really funny in the same way Kimmy Schmidt has that. But you do lose it. You lose a lot of the gags because they're so quick or it's so subtle at times that you miss a lot of that.
Yeah.
I'd say kind of almost the opposite in that I think it's a show you can find funny. You can drop into any episode at any point of it. Find gags there, it's funny, but you don't necessarily have to fall in love with it. I know a lot of people do, and it's got a lot of real... It's one of those shows that has a real sort of diehard fan base, but I sort of saw a few episodes over a number of years, and then I saw one episode that I think must have been somewhere in season three on TV, and it made me laugh out loud on so many occasions that I immediately went and bought the first three seasons on DVD, then realised it was on all on Netflix, and sort of thought, right, I'm going to plough through all this, and it's going to be my new favourite show. It's going to replace 30 Rock in my affections. And it was still funny, but like you say, somewhere along the line, I sort of lost that compulsion to watch episode after episode that 30 Rock had for me, that I'm having at the moment, actually, with Community, thanks to recommendations from a few guys of this parish. Which, again, that's one of those shows where, actually, perhaps differently, I think it's a little bit flawed and the characters annoy me, but the gags are so fast and it's so relentless and there's something creative with it every time that just that next 20 minutes of something different and funny, brilliant, put another one on and I'm staying up half a night. Arrested Development lost that momentum for me. And I realised when I had to come and talk to you guys about it that I thought I loved it, but maybe I don't.
Oh, well, that's really disappointing, Adam. I think that this isn't a good start.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
First of all, you've got a hard job anyway, because I'm suffering seriously from this thing where, like, Kimmy Schmidt, this season two of Kimmy Schmidt has made me think that all comedy before it is just so far beneath. What they've done with this for me is so where comedy and box sets and things should be going in terms of its artistic license and stuff, that I just think it pales into significance everything else, including Chuck.
Oh, this is a big deal.
I just
King
love
is
it.
Dead, long live the king.
I want to go back. I went back. I finished season two and went back to season one, episode one again, and found it even more joyous. You know, I just think what they've done is phenomenal. And so you've got a tough sell, because I'm kind of giving up on all other comedy.
I think for me, Arrested Development is. It's just at times it is simply brilliantly crafted comedy. Like, it's a writing Odyssey. The writer of it, I think, I've got to say Mitchell something, I think he's called. But it's an amazing performance. It's Aaron Sorkin standard writing, but for comedy.
Yeah.
And just the way he maps out these weird plots. And for me, the hook, because you always need a hook with a show to pull you in, and it might be a number of things. For me, it was the character of Job, played by Will Arnett. And the moment I saw him arrive on a Segway into a scene, he's just the most funny, and doing imagine this hilariously bad magic performances. It's just, I couldn't get enough of his character. I'd never heard who he was before. That was the first time I'd ever seen him, and he had this deep, really dramatic voice, but he was so insecure. And there's just some episodes with him in that have you in absolute tears. That is the hook for me, and I think that if you give it a chance and you really like start to enjoy the character, especially Job and his relationship with his brother Michael, I think you'll start to really love it.
He could actually be telling me that it is similar to Kimmy Schmidt in that sense then. Does it have surreal moments? Does it...
It remains
within its plot? Or
yeah. Yeah, it's out there. Like, it's a very sort of like...
Would everybody suddenly sing a song on a train platform?
No, maybe not that surreal.
No, it isn't given to utter flights of fancy, but it's, I mean, the fact that the family car, this is not a spoiler, he spends most of the series driving around in a mobile escalator.
Escalator?
Like that's just their, yeah, really? Like, a stairway to get off a plane becomes a family car.
No, I love it.
And it's full of, sort of, you know, the whole thing is based around a fugitive father living in the attic of the show home of his arrested development. It works on two levels because the property development is arrested after he is arrested. There you go. That's a spoiler.
You mentioned the hook, Jamie, of being that character. For me, the grounding, the hook of Kimmy is that they are both incredibly poor. She's been through something horrible. There's a real rags to riches kind of dream going on. There's quite desperate situations involving immigration and things like that. So the situation itself is the hook for me. And my concern with Arrested Development is symptomatic of what you've just said, that it feels like I'm going to be dipping in and out of something that's got great gags.
Yeah, I think story. There is an emotional, like, the centre of it is the character of Michael. He's the straight man a lot of the times for the ridiculous siblings around him.
Yeah.
And he's the character that you relate to. He's the one that you sort of follow the journey of, and he's constantly trying to escape his family. He wants to get away from them with his son and have a normal life. So he's the sort of character that you kind of follow as the everyman.
Mm.
And that kind of keeps you drawn in. That keeps you sort of like, and also he's a funny character as well. He's not just a straight character. He's a very funny, quick-witted character. Mm. So there is that element of it, and it can draw you in because you follow him and you want him to sort of get out of this weird and horribly sort of.
Is there a story? I mean, if Adam's wandered off, the story can't have been on the cliff edge.
No, there is a story. It's basically, it is just a family trying to get out of bankruptcy, trying to save the business, trying to stay
together.
Doesn't
the voiceover at the start of every episode tell you what the story is?
Yeah,
in like one succinct sentence.
Yeah.
I can't. Well, clearly, you can't remember anymore.
Who is, of course, Ron Howard?
Yeah,
of course.
Ron Howard was the producer of it when they first did it, and he did the voiceover as like a pilot, as part of the pilot, not intending to actually be the voiceover. And then they tested it, and one of the number one return on the testing from the audience was that they love Ron Howard's voiceover. So he had to carry on doing it. I know more about it than you two.
You clearly do. It's strange because it is one of those where I'd say it's... Because I know people love it so much that it's one of those where I'd never say don't bother, because you might turn into one of those people who really, really love it.
Hmm.
It's smart and it's funny. It's genuinely funny in every episode, and it's really well written, and there's some really funny performances in there.
Hmm. Well, we've got a Kimmy-shaped hole in our lives.
It's not above really sort of base humour. I think the thing that really hooked me into it was where the whole episode strung around having a character called Bob Loblaw. and that was it. That almost had me crying. That was enough to go out and immediately order that, just because everyone just went, well, what does Bob Loblaw think? Someone get Bob Loblaw on the phone. And like,
see, that smells of Parks and Rec for me as well.
But 10 years previous.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you can understate or overstate the sort of importance of it, but it is, you know, it's 10 years old now, 10,
right,
11, 12 years old. So it does perhaps feel a little bit dated if you've been watching a lot of the things that have followed it since, and you've sort of, I think it sort of raised the bar for a lot of comedy writing.
Are you making your tea, Jamie?
No, I'm sat in my study.
All right. Must be Adam's background.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of background going on.
All right. Afraid. Well, listen, you've sold it. Yeah, go on.
No, I was going to throw in two controversial statements, which is going to upset each of you in turn.
Right.
Oh.
One, because Jamie, you were talking about Will Arnett. I've officially hit peak Will Arnett now. Mm. I'm bored of him. And I think that's one of the reasons I don't go back to watch Arrested Development as much.
Okay.
It's the same sort of character and everything.
Let him make his statements. All right, number two.
See, he was a regular in 30 Rock as well.
Statement number two, Adam.
I watched the first four episodes of season two of Kimmy Schmidt and did not enjoy them.
Are you pulling my arse?
I'm pulling it right out back through up your windpipe and out through your face.
Right, start again. Something is missing in your soul.
Possibly.
How can you? What? What?
I don't know. I was genuinely looking forward to it. I really enjoyed the first season, as we spoke about a few weeks ago. I think a Saturday night, thought, yeah, let's get through a few of these. And after about three episodes, I sat with my wife, and she really enjoyed the first season as well. And we were like, I'm not quite feeling this as much.
Okay,
and
right.
then there were a few really sharp sort of lines. And then we thought, I want to watch a couple of episodes of Community instead.
Jesus Christ.
And
right.
That's what we did.
Right, who wants to go first?
You might have to cancel.
Jamie, why don't you go first?
Okay, right. I think that your reaction to Will Arnett is based primarily around the Netflix show he's produced called Flaked, isn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I have watched a few.
Don't judge him by that horrible show that he should never have made, okay? He made a mistake, but he's still a very talented comedic performer. He's just taken a detour.
Do you want to call him a name as well, Jamie?
Yeah, you're Jezebel.
Right. Okay, my turn. Adam, I don't know what was going on in your house on that Saturday night, but line for line, that programme is the densest, most brilliant joke fest that I've ever experienced. Did you even get to the one where it begins with Titus saying it was a bang fest? This was like the time my mum and dad sent me to musical camp to straighten me out. It was a total bang fest.
No.
Amazing.
I'm looking forward to you just reading the whole script.
I cannot understand. Look,
that's
sometimes
already become your best impression.
Thanks. Sometimes this can happen. Maybe it's something in the air, something in the water. Maybe you were tired that day. Maybe you weren't ready. Maybe your brain was going too slow for the pace.
You've been a bit poorly.
You need to start that shit again, young man. It's
got a career. There's a lot of Poppadom admin to go through. Yeah. I don't
think it's a Saturday night thing. I really don't. I think it's too much effort for a Saturday night. Saturday night, you want to be going to the cinema with your child and watching The Jungle Book, which is a phenomenal film. Has anybody seen it?
No.
Is there a new one?
Oh, yeah. Jon Favreau's directed it, and it's amazing. Oh, wow. I didn't realise it was Jon Favreau, right? Last week I went to watch Zootropolis, one Disney film, and went, oh my God, it's amazing. Did you watch it?
Watched it, loved it.
Oh, isn't it? It's just so rich and funny. The sloth scene.
Oh, yeah.
With, what's his name? Patton Oswalt, I think he's playing the part. It sounds like Patton Oswalt, I'm not sure if it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, Howell.
Adam, setup is the sloths in Zootropolis work in like the DVLA, the driver's licensing place. They go in to ask them a question, and the basic conceit of the scene is that everything you ask them, because they're sloths, it will take them ages to answer. So they're like, we need to track a license plate number. And then a massive pause, and then he'll go, I can do that. Okay, the number is for you. And that's the gag. The gag runs...
Like asking me a question on this.
No, the gag runs for probably like 4 or 5 minutes. It's like, and it gets funnier and funnier. And it's an example of where in days gone by, that would have been cut. A producer would have gone, nah, we've got to cut away for the gag, keep the kids hooked, whatever. It gets funnier and funnier. And then went to watch Jungle Book and thought...
I'll just pause you before Jungle Book. Here's another reason to get into Arrested Development. The voice of the fox is Jason Bateman, who's Michael Bluth. In Arrested Development.
There you go.
So why don't you stick with it?
Yeah. and then Jungle Book. So I went to watch Jungle Book thinking, look, obviously it's Jungle Book. They've done a live action version. Already it stinks a bit. And it's not going to be Zootropolis, which is phenomenal. Sat there, blown away from before the opening credits. You know when they, you know on a Disney film, you have the shot over the castle at the beginning? Well, He's had that animated, and it's like old Snow White animation, like just down to those kind of details, right from the first second to the very end of the credits. Favreau has made an amazing piece of work. It's getting like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff, which is amazing for something like that. It really, I cannot recommend going to see those two films strongly enough at the cinema. How do we get onto that? It's something that's made
because
that
you
well.
Think like something's died inside my soul.
That's what you should be watching on a Saturday night.
You went to Disney.
Yeah, you should be watching that on a Saturday night, not Kimmy Schmidt. But this new series of Kimmy Schmidt, I cannot tell you. Like, I just love it, I adore it, and I think that Arrested Development is more than what
you like this more than the first season.
Oh, loads more. Because I think they've overblown it much more on purpose. They've run off, like you've seen the first episode. So they break into song on a train platform, and there's no reason, there's no rhyme or reason. You know, it's just suddenly it's a musical. Then at that point, and things like that, decisions like that, that they don't apologise for, they don't over-explain or anything. They do more and more of it.
I'm going to say to Adam's point, I know where you're coming from with season two, is that it's been harder for us to get into it as well, but I've seen some brilliant moments that I'm going to stick with it through.
I'm certainly going to stick with it, but maybe again it was a level of expectation because I really enjoyed that first season. But a few times where I just thought, they've just come back to... they're just coming back to some of the same beats again, and maybe I was expecting more. But there's still some very funny moments.
Have
in
you seen
it.
Titus's performance as a geisha?
Yes, yeah, that was good.
Beautiful.
That was funny.
Beautiful, not just funny, but beautiful. Like, what a gorgeous performance! And
moving.
Anyway, point is, I think that Arrested Development can't live up to that, but I think it might well fill the Kimmy-shaped hole in my life. You've genuinely, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't going to watch it again. And you've genuinely persuaded me to make it to at least episode 4, so I will.
Yeah, give it a few.
And hey,
it's definitely worth it. And also, we haven't even mentioned Tobias. I mean, Tobias is one of the best, like, weird oddball characters ever created in TV. He showers with cut off jeans on because he doesn't like being naked. I mean,
he's a never nude.
Honestly, you are going to really enjoy it.
Okay,
just got to get through it a little bit. All right,
you had me at never.
I'm gonna go back and pick up where I was up to as well, I think.
Yeah, and I think maybe you should go back to episode 1 of Kimmy Schmidt and start again, because I'm not sure if I want you in this gang, either of you, if you're not loving it. You're not welcome. All right.
It's going to be you and Mel doing a two-hander podcast from here on out, isn't it?
Mel's not here. No one's here.
The The Chuck and Kimmy podcast.
That'd be great. What a podcast. Yeah. If we've changed your life, let us know. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Have you watched anything? I think all of us have mentioned tonight something that we've not watched much before. Jamie, have you carried on with Chuck yet?
No, Howell.
Please
no.
do.
Yeah, all right.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, it's just on. It's low down on a. It's got a shopping list. It's on low down on that shopping list.
Crack on.
I've not even carried on with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I mean, can I say one thing about Chuck? Parks and Rec. You told me to watch Parks and Rec. Yes.
Yeah.
You told me that the first season is the worst.
Yeah.
You know, in that way that the characters really get into stuff after season one.
Yeah.
Exactly the same with Chuck. Exactly the same. Gets more and more fun as it goes on, as everyone gets into it. That's why you should watch it. Adam, you're a lost cause. So thank you. If we've changed your life, we want to hear. We love getting emails from you, so please do. We know that you're listening. Please pop us an email. Just say hi. Just send us an email saying hi, and I'll just read your name out. studio@theboxsetpod.com. studio@theboxsetpod.com. See you next week. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
See you, boys.
Thanks, Jamie. And let's end with a clip from when Jamie was sorting his house out earlier.
And find my headphones, Adam.
5 minutes of listening to this. Welcome to the Box Set Pod. 5 minutes ago, Jamie said that he was just getting his stuff sorted, and he's been making these noises ever since. What the heck?
Hiya.
See you next week.